Dal to the Territory, Northwest London, in Kadesh with Beit Midrash, Knesset, Yecheskel, and Haderech. Tuesday, 3rd of Teves, 27th of December, Rabbi Eli Schumann Schlita, waiting after hard cheese. The Sixth Torah has been sponsored, Lila Mishmas. Kenchus Yosef Ben Mishmoz, Paul Rocha, and the Shoshin related to Paul Levine, Paul Rocha, and Regular Torah, and Tisbet of the year. Also, the Wisdom of 60
beginning with the halacha of waiting, stand waiting after meat. So Shulchan Aruch says in Pei Tes, someone eats meat, has to wait, even after chicken has to wait. Machlokes brought down in the Chaz with regards to. Machlokes in the Taz, why do you have to wait? So you've got Shitz Rashi, which is because of a lingering flavor in the mouth, which comes from the fattiness of the cheese, and you have the Shitz Rambam is because of the pieces of meat stuck in one's teeth. We move over to the cheese. I'm trying to get to the Ikar Hashir, so I'm gonna try to be makatzar on this part. So the Ramah brings here Shmachmirim, that even after cheese, before one eats meat, and says the Chenagim shekolak vines kosher, that with any type of hard cheese one needs to wait. It brings a Yesh Makilim, some people are Makil. The Maaseh, the Minhag HaOlam was accepted is yes to be machmir on certain hard cheeses, to wait after hard cheese before eating meat. Each person according to their time they wait. So the big question which we're going to try and deal with this morning is what is considered hard cheese? What does hard cheese mean? So the reason I brought the Rambam and Rashi before is because the Shach and Taz are pretty much based on the Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. The Taz goes from Mahalach that what the Rambam said with regards to the meat getting stuck between one's teeth, it's a din in meat. Why? Because it says abasa ben shineim, and that's a meat dika inyan, that especially for meat. That's the mahalach of the Taz, and therefore he says it has to be dafka gvina metulas, wormy cheese. He specifies, and so to a cheese which is. Has been aged for 6 months and has used rennet. He specifies it needs to use rennet, which is a keva, which is the enzyme from a calf's stomach. We can hopefully get to explaining the cheese process a little bit later. That's a shittas hataz. Shach, he goes with a different mahalach. He says it's enough that it's just 6 months, and it doesn't specify, his loshon is it just needs to be 6 months. It doesn't specify metulas. It doesn't specify that it needs to be rennet cheese. Pashtus is going more with the mahalach of the Rambam, that it's got to do with the hardness of the cheese thing stuck in your teeth. But one can argue on that nukud as well. Everything that I'm saying, you can imagine there's no sekelim and there's achronim in his poskim. Which deal with every nekuda that I'm saying over here, but that's the tamta sevorim. When dealing with halacha, we usually look at the Chochmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan, those two most contemporary poskim who generally we pass in like. Aruch HaShulchan goes more than halach of wormy and something that has a strong flavor, he brings that one. And Chachamas Aram goes more than a kuda of just as long as it's mitulas, again he goes with the wormy and with the 6 months. I'm using these terms, I'm gonna try to explain these terms in a minute, but I just want to come to the point that Lemaisa, what needs to be choshesh to these expressions, which is mitulas, shisha chadashim, and something that's got a strong flavor, a strong fatty flavor. I'll put the Aruch HaShulchan, sheish behem harbe shamnunis, v'atam nimshach harbe zman. They got a lot of fattiness, and the flavor lingers for a long time in the mouth. So it's with those three variations we're going to have to see how to navigate the cheese, those three nakudas. So firstly, let's discuss what does it mean mitulas, what does it mean wormy? So I have seen some contemporary articles which people try to say that wormy means maybe that it's the blue cheese, that it looks like it's got mold inside. The blue cheese is nothing to do with worms. It's got to do with the oxygen put inside and the different molds and bacteria and cultures put inside the cheese. Other people want to say that it's the holes. Some of the Swiss cheese, the Emmental, maybe that's what's meant by wormy. It looks like it's had worms inside. It's not that either. That's caused by a reaction between the bacteria together with the lactic acid, and that gives out carbon dioxide and causes the carbon dioxide to filter through the cheese and creates the holes. So what is wormy? Wormy is wormy mamash. So if you go back, let's say 100 years ago, where they didn't have such controlled aging processes in the aging rooms, you would put a cheese in a place which wasn't so controlled, and a fly would fly over, drop some eggs inside, and very soon you have maggots that go into the cheese and then get stuck inside the cheese because the cheese will harden on the outside from the air, it will dry. The maggots get stuck inside and they pour over it and they eat the cheese and excrete the cheese and then continue that process until someone frees them. And if you have cheese sitting for 6 months, you can imagine you open cheese and you can't find clips on these. It's illegal in Europe, it's illegal to have such cheese because it's dangerous. But you can go to places where they do, you know, Sardinia or something like that. It's called Casa Marzu, if you want to search it, Casa Marzu. And you can actually see they've got a picture, they open up the cheese, and inside it is the whole cheese is moving, it's crawling. And people eat this cheese, and they say it's mamash burns your mouth with flavor. Now, the truth is, we might say, oh, that's disgusting, how could you eat cheese? We might say, it's mutter. I'm not talking, obviously, these cheeses are not kosher cheeses, it would have to be done in a kosher dick way. But these cheeses, the worms themselves, as long as it hasn't fallen onto the tzalachet, if they grown within the cheese, if you go back to Ilkus worms, you'll see that that those worms are actually mutter. Actually, I have an interesting anecdote that the Nemra Goyim, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Ovent, he actually was makbid to go. He went and he had such a kosher cheese. Because if said the Torah said this is not Baal Teshach Tzutz, obviously this is not what's considered disgusting. And he went and he had some to try some, he ate some such cheese. There was a similar story with Mr. Samson about Danablu. Okay. So Lemaisa, that's when we talk about mitulas, that is cheese which you have to remember that cheese is extremely, extremely strong because when it goes through, when a maggot eats something, they also got a digestive system with their own enzymes. That comes out of their system stronger than it went in, and if that cycle continues for however many months, you get a very, very strong ammonia flavored cheese. Okay, but let's move away from that because we weren't, I don't think anyone in this room will ever end up having such cheese, and if they do, wish them atzlacha. Let's move over to the other two nekudas, which is what's called a tzikzma and a strong flavor. Now, what's considered tzikzma? With modern cheese processes, 6 months takes a bit of a different shape. Because you can take a cheese, and I've got some cheeses over here, you can take a cheese, and let's take something which we all recognize. Brought this one, Floyd Ramashaf. I tried to bring something Floyd Schneebart, but it's Schneider's, but doesn't have the Rosh Hashan. So you can have a cheese which has a long shelf life. It can have up to a year, 2 years. This particular one is good till April. And that cheese can sit in the fridge for sometimes 6 months or a year. Is that considered 6 month cheese? Now the Pashtus answer is no, because what they try to do in the modern cheese world, they will mature a cheese to a certain point and stop the maturation process. What they don't want is the consumer to get... They want a consumer to be able to go to the shelf, pick up a cheese, and have a consistent flavor, whether it's got 1 month left or 6 months left. And therefore, if you pick up a cheese, a regular cheese, whether it's got a short shelf life, a long shelf life, will generally taste very, very similar, which means that what they've done is a controlled with preservatives and controlled bacterial growth. They can actually control how long they want that cheese to mature for. So to say that a cheese that's been sitting in your fridge, which is a cheese that they've made and matured for maybe a week or two, and that 6 months later that's going to be considered a 6 month cheese, that's very schwer to say. Pashtus, it's not considered what we would consider a hard cheese. On the other hand, let's understand a little bit about cultures and cheeses. So when we talk about a cheese that's been matured for 6 months, so as we said before, they would take the cheese and age it wherever they would age it. In those days, they didn't have starter cultures and bacteria. What do those words mean? When you make a cheese and you put it to rest, if you don't add anything special to it, there'll be multiple bacteria and cultures in it which will try to gain the main strength. And someone gave a moshel to a chasna where there's no band and there's no microphones, and everyone tries to start a bit of a niggun at their table to get to make a bit simcha, and then suddenly you've got the table bachrim, and they sing the loudest, and everyone joins in. Similar would be in a cheese, where there's a few different bacteria and cultures which got in, and each one tries to get their flavor to be dominant over the cheese. Finally, one of them chaps it, and that will be the culture and the flavor of that cheese. Nowadays, we can do that process. What would take 3 months, we can do it in 10 minutes or in half an hour. We take that culture, we know exactly the strain of that culture. We can take many times I take two or three, depends on the cheese, the flavor. I put exactly that into the cheese, and within hours you can have the flavor, which would then take months previously. So this obviously has a big nafkamin in this halacha, where we can get cheeses which can be matured for 2 or 3 weeks and can be stronger than cheeses which have been cultured for 6 months. And this is where things get complicated. How does one know? For example, I've tried a goat cheese, and it was still a soft goat cheese, was still sliceable, but the taste lingered in one's mouth for hours and hours afterwards. It was about a 2 or 3 week cheese. It hadn't been matured very long. If you take, for example, I've got over here, I've got a feta cheese. So this cheese is not matured for very long. You know, it could be days or weeks that it's actually matured for, and then it sits in a brine pool for anywhere between a few weeks to a few months, where it sits in a brining pool to get its strong salty flavor, and one tastes it, and you can have a very strong lingering taste afterwards, but again, far off from what Chazal was talking about sitting for 6 months. So that becomes something that one needs to be aware of. So how does one know? So I have put together, I'm not going to go through the list over here, I have it available, if someone, I have a few copies over here, if someone can send it. Just gone through a few of the cheeses which are available. You will find some of them will actually tell you. So here we have a Parmesan cheese. Now these officially have to be aged definitely 6 months, but they can be up to 2 years. They can be aged, and this is something one would have to wait. You can feel this already lost a lot of its moisture. And now, interesting, Rav Aaron Kotler, when he gave his psak on hard cheese, he said, no, it has to be mamish hard, okay, maybe like the rind over here, that you have to use a grater. That's how hard it says. And, you know, obviously going with the Rambam's mahalach for stuck in cheese. So that's the mahalach he went with. I just want to mention another two nekudas. This is all what's generally the mahalach in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, they got a much more machmir mahalach, which is that any hard cheese, a lot of poskim in Eretz Yisrael, any hard cheese, which is even what they consider the Israeli yellow cheese or the standard cheese you get over there, which could have been aged for half an hour and created, the cheese was created, that they machmir on any cheese, Rabbi Yashu's machmir, Rav Ozma's machmir, Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's different, there's about 10 different quotes in different directions of what Rav Shlomo Zalman said with regard to that. So there will be people in Eretz Yisrael with machmir on any type of hard cheese to wait for 6 hours. What about melted cheese? You've got a cheese, and this is a halacha l'maaseh, because this Parmesan cheese it's definitely 6 months, and it's definitely got some strong cultures in it, and it's a strong cheese. However, a lot of people like grating it and putting it on top of their pizza, on top of their melted cheese and pasta, so does one need to wait if it's melted? Does it make enough mina? The Dark Chuba brings the Yad Yehuda. The Yad Yehuda is taka makel when it comes to melted cheese. It says it loses the charifus, it loses what gets stuck in one's mouth. And therefore he's makel with regards to melted cheese. Obviously, as I said before, there's lots of different people arguing this. And some people say it's only if it's inside the food, not on top of the food. So they make enough commitment between that. What happens if it gets hardened afterwards? So no, Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz, Mekel, even if it's, you made the pizza and it was molten cheese, but afterwards you waited 20 minutes and it's already crusted over, does that now go back to its original hard cheese? He passed the knot. And there are some people who don't agree with the Yad Yehuda at all. They don't consider that melted cheese is bichal a issue. And if we're already discussing cheese, now the question is where there's two, one put it left, which is what's considered a hard cheese? Does this mean that anything that's a strong cheese with a lingering taste now needs to be, you have to wait for it? Because there's five or six different categories of cheese. You get fresh cheese, you get soft cheese, you get semi-soft cheese, and then start with the firm cheese, and then you move to the hard cheese. And each of them have a different process. And some of them will have a hard outside, some of them will be have a soft inside, some of them will be so soft that you can't even slice them. So where do we say that this is now hard cheese? Leisman de Pollig, that's something like cottage cheese, is definitely not hard cheese. But if you get something that's more of a spreading cheese, like you can take sometimes inside a camembert or a brie, and it can almost be spreadable, but does that get a din of a hard cheese or not? It definitely will linger in your mouth. There's a very, very strong French cheeses, and they will linger in your mouth for hours. But does that get a getter of hard cheese? Or, what's interesting, we don't find, how about, the Gemara talks about kuta. Kuta was a very, very strong flavored yogurt type. And pashas don't need to wait after a kuta. So where does one draw the line between what's considered a hard cheese and not a hard cheese? Does one want to say that something you can slice, something you can spread? I don't know, these are things which need to be, they're not exactly cleared. But one thing we know, and if it is, we get a hard cheese that has a very strong flavor, one does have to be machmir. Each cheese will have their own times. So for example, in the Shevington range, this one, the black one, which is the mature cheddar, this has been matured for 6 months. So ignoring the shelf life, this has been actually matured for 6 months. The other ones, love dafka, there's one, the green one's sophic, other ones are not. But this one has been, so this is one that you'd have to wait if you're eating, have you eaten this, you'd have to wait after that.
I'll see, is that in slices?
It doesn't matter, this one happens to be a block, but it wouldn't make a difference if it slices or not. It's the same.
The soft slices?
The slices are just this cheese sliced. It's not...
But is that soft or hard?
This is pliable, this is still soft, but it has been matured for 6 months. And therefore one would need to wait after having that cheese. I'll leave the last few minutes just to explain a little bit about the cheese process. I didn't bring any milk or anything with me, so let's just talk about it for a minute. So how does one make cheese? So if one takes a cup of, let's say, you want whole fat milk. So what is milk? Milk is basically mostly water. And inside it's got different properties. You've got this fat, there's protein, there's and all there's lactose, which is the sugars, and you have all the fortifications, the calcium, and all the other wonderful properties inside milk. Now, how's it staying as an emulsion? How come these solids which are inside there are not clumping together? So there's a bit of an electrical charge around the particles which are keeping them that are repelled from each other. When you stop that charge, they'll therefore lose emulsion and come together. How do you stop that charge? There's two main ways of doing that, which would either be using an acid, bringing down the pH to bring up the acidity, and you at that point you'll stop that electrical charge and the pieces will clump together. Another way to do it, now that is actually a reversible process. If you would bring up the pH, some type of soda ash, you'll actually be able to reverse, restart that electrical charge and recreate the emulsion. You could also use rennet. Now what's rennet? Rennet will actually, if we use rennet, it will actually do a microbial change because it's an enzyme, and that will not be reversible. That will bring together the main pieces, the solids, and you'll have, again, curds and whey, but that won't be a reversible process. Now, what is rennet? Rennet, you can get the real rennet, and I'm assuming very shy if they've used real rennet here, and it's quite a complicated process to make. Real rennet is from a calf's stomach. So if you can imagine, a calf drinks milk, like we drink milk, and then the body needs to... Digest that. So it has to break it down, like the Rav mentioned, needs to break it down and needs to remove the goodness from it. So the first thing it'll do, it will try break down the solids, and we use an enzyme, the rennet. Now, after you shecht a calf, inside a calf's stomach, and this is dafka a calf, because a calf that drinks milk, you have in the walls of the stomach, you have the very, very strong enzymes. It's quite a complicated process to get that kosher, because it's sitting inside the, it's sitting what's meat, what's flesh it now. So to get that process out and then be able to use it in the milk, it has to be dried out and has to the enzymes then need to be extracted in a quite a complicated process to then use that in milk. Most cheeses we have nowadays will either be using a type of acid, or they'll be using a microbial rennet that they get from different plants and things. You can get the rennet from that. Once you've gone through that process, now that process, adding the acid, adding the rennet, that is what's considered gibbon. That is what's, when you talk about Gewinas Yisrael, and everyone, the Leishman Depalik, that you need Gewinas Yisrael, that process of adding that rennet needs to be done by Yid, and that's what's known as Gewinas Yisrael. But that's what separates the curse from the way. The process continues depending on each factory with their mahalach will be to usually cook up the curds to which will solidify them, some will add more acid to create them into to again to get more solids, to pull the more solids out of them. Those will be put into different shapes and then put to age. You'll have mozzarella, which is most of our pizzas, which we'll have nowadays, will either be a type of a young cheddar cheese or a mozzarella, which according to the Poskim, definitely in Chutz La'aretz, one would not have to wait after. I'm saying not unless you add some parmesan afterward, but generally one wouldn't have to wait after those. And a mozzarella, for example, they actually do a bit of an interesting, they knead the dough, they knead the cheese before it sets, and that gives it the stretching properties of them. So, just to conclude, the bottom line is that if you've got cheese which has matured for 6 months, so I'm leaving worms out, not in the gear, so cheese which has been matured for 6 months, so you've got cheese like this, the Parmesan, or you've got the mature cheddar, and you will find some other cheeses as well, Roma, different ones which have actually been mature for 6 months, there definitely one has to wait. If you get a strong cheese which is one lingers in one's mouth, not a simple cheese, a strong cheese which you'll actually taste the flavour for a few hours afterwards.
Blue cheese.
Those are cheeses. So blue cheese is an example. Now blue cheese, there used to be one under Salt used to make one. I just asked Rabbi Sharf now, it was done under Kadassi, said that was a 3 week cheese. That was only mature for 3 weeks. But that cheese, you would taste it for hours afterwards, extremely, extremely strong. So that's a very, very good example of a cheese which matured for a very, very short amount of time and is extremely strong.
Do you have to wait for the blue?
Definitely would have to wait on that one. It's a very, very strong cheese with a lingering taste. So, either 6 month or a cheese which has a very, very strong flavour, those will always have to wait, or unless you go with Malach HaMeretz Yisrael, which the person over there would say that one would need to wait after any hard cheese.
Did you say that?